Well, after quite a few weeks now with not much by the way of ministry announcements, I've got a couple doozies for you this morning, so make sure you take notes. First, 2 weeks from today, on July 14th, we will be able to meet once again in person here in the sanctuary at the advisement of our reentry committee. So there's lots more details about that in Covenant Chronicles and on the website. So we'll be saying more about that in the coming weeks, but make sure to go ahead and check out those details. Also, most importantly for our purposes today, this afternoon, here at Covenant, live and in person, at 2 o'clock, we will be having a congregational meeting to vote on the new senior pastor of Covenant Presbyterian Church, Robbie Holt from Chattanooga, Tennessee. Again, there's an email you should have received with information about this, so make sure to read that and pay special attention. There are a lot of details. I'll just say a few things now for our purposes today. First, while we recognize this is a really important day in the life of Covenant, we acknowledge because of our current circumstances with COVID-19 that not everyone will be able to be here. We don't expect everyone to be here in person, and we honestly aren't encouraging everyone to be here in person. So if you are in an at-risk category because of immune system or age, or you've recently been around someone who is sick or you've been exposed, please do not feel the need to be here. If you are a family with young children, please don't. We don't expect you to be here with your young children. It's okay. We've made provision for that, which I'll mention in just a second. So again, just to reiterate, don't feel the need to be here if your conscience doesn't allow it. What this will look like when you get here, first we'll ask that you show up a little bit early. Probably need to be here by about 1:30, 1:45. We're going to ask everyone who wants to be inside the building to come through the front two doors. There will be ushers or deacons who will give you instructions when you get here as to where to sit. The sanctuary will be limited capacity seating. We have a number of overflow areas set up should we need them, and you'll be directed where to sit. Also, if you don't feel comfortable being in the building, which we totally understand, we have a few options for you. One, there will be a designated parking place outside so that you can be here on campus outside in your car, and you can stream the service from there. As it has been for the past many weeks, the meeting will be available on the internet. Also, those who don't feel comfortable being here in person at all feel more comfortable staying at home. There will be a link coming out this afternoon that you will be able to vote remotely through that link, through a survey monkey, survey chimp, something like that, link that'll be available to you then. It's also important to note that if you're here on campus, whether you're in the sanctuary, in overflow, or out in your car, you will have an opportunity at the appropriate time to ask a question. If you need to, there will be a brief Q&A portion of the meeting. However, only those who are here on campus, whether in the sanctuary, overflow, or out in the car, their votes will be counted for the official presbytery count. However, we want you to know that even those voting at home online, we care about your vote. We want to know what you're thinking. So for our purposes in-house, we will also be counting those votes. We're asking people who would be here on campus to follow all the normal CDC-recommended guidelines up to and including wearing your mask. The pastors will be wearing ours. Everyone who's not up here on the chancel will be wearing a mask. There will be some here available if you need them. There'll be hand sanitizing stations, things like that. So we want to make sure everyone is safe and feels comfortable here. So that's a mouthful. I'm sure there are things that I didn't mention that I meant to. So again, make sure you check out the email that you received that has all those details. And Kurt's going to come pray for us.
Please join me in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning to adore and praise you, the great I am, the creator of all things, seen and unseen, our maker, redeemer, and king. We pray that our worship pleases you. We are excited about the plans you have for our covenant family as we gather later today to act on the nomination of Robbie Holt as our next senior pastor. May your Holy Spirit be at work in our midst. We are thankful we can approach your throne of grace with the confidence that Jesus alone has afforded us to place the following petitions before you. We ask for healing as Greta Smith recovers from surgery on her broken foot. Please be with Emily Lambert's father as he battles cancer. Help Emily and Jonathan as they care for him. We lift up Mark Bidette's father and Sarah Litton's grandfather as he struggles with heart complications. We ask for comfort as Elizabeth Fox mourns the loss of her father, Carl Fox, who passed away Friday night. We are thankful for the sweet time the family had with Carl before he passed away. In all of these circumstances, let any fear, anxiety, despair, or discomfort be overshadowed by assurance, peace, hope, and comfort. We ask you to bless Vern and Alina Marshall, missionaries with Mission to the World in Chile, as they face challenges adjusting to ministering in the midst of a strict quarantine. Give them strength and resolve and signs of how you are at work through them. Father, our hearts were broken this week as the events in Minneapolis took place. We lift up the family and friends of George Floyd, as well as their community. Help all of us, your people, sisters, and brothers all, to live in peace, to honor and respect and love one another. May your Holy Spirit be at work in our country. May we be in prayer about how we as individuals and families and as a church can think and speak and act in ways that heal the brokenness and foster humility and kindness and hospitality and inclusion. We also pray for all the women and men who faithfully and fairly enforce the law. Keep them safe and encourage them as their job has now grown even more challenging and dangerous. We pray for the leaders in our country at the local, state, and federal level. Give them wisdom and courage as they make difficult decisions to restore peace. Thank you for being with us in all the circumstances we find ourselves in, whether they be joys or sorrows, mountaintops, or even the valley of the shadow of death. Lord, we ask that you speak to us through Dan. May we have ears to hear and receptive hearts and minds to understand and embrace what he shares with us. And now, may the peace that passes all understanding be ours in Christ Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Kurt, and good morning, everyone. What a day this is as we look forward to the congregational meeting this afternoon. This is a day that we've been looking forward to for a long, long time, and we are so excited for what is before us in this next season here at Covenant. And yet, it's a time of great concern, as already been mentioned this morning, due to many things that are happening in our country, the civil unrest, and especially here around us with all that we deal with daily in this coronavirus season. But in God's providence, we come to a text that is perfectly placed in time for our benefit. If you're not a Presbyterian after today, I just don't know about it. So we continue in our study of the upper room discourse this morning in John 14, having come out of the last chapter where Jesus gave his disciples some very bad news. Though he had said it before, this time he says it with more clarity. He says, "Yet only a little while I am with you. You will seek me, but where I'm going, you cannot come." It was quite a bombshell for them, I think. Certainly got their attention. And then he gave his disciples something they really needed to hear. it was a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. And by this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. A significant passage that we studied last week, especially for the times that we are in. And you'll remember that Peter got in on the act at the very end. He responded, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus, "Where I'm going, you cannot follow me now." "Why can't I follow? I will lay down my life for you." Can't believe he said it that way. Then Jesus tells Peter, "The rooster will not crow till you have denied me three times." And so out of that interchange comes our text this morning, and what a text it is. Again, rich in application for us in the season that we are in. Here are some of the headlines from this past week regarding the pandemic. In 17 states, the number of COVID-19 cases keep rising. Another one. "Tell me what to do, please. Even experts struggle with coronavirus unknowns." Another one. "Infections at the biggest meat plants have quadrupled in the past month. Experts warn of more shortages and higher prices." This one. "Staying 6 feet away isn't enough." For parents, "How will schools open in the fall?" And then for some of us, grandparents, extra vulnerable, are navigating tough choices around seeing their grandchildren. Unprecedented times, to say the least, socially and economically. Well, this morning our text is John 14:1-14. You will hear the very words of Jesus, like, "Let not your hearts be troubled. And I go to prepare a place for you. I am the way, the truth, and the life." We've heard those words in song already this morning. "And whoever has seen me has seen the Father. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." Powerful words for us today. So let's read this passage together, looking how these verses fit together, and then how are we to learn to place our trust in Jesus Christ alone. John 14, beginning in verse 1. "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I'm going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." All flesh is like grass, and all its glory is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord forever. Let's pray together. Father, we're thankful for this text that's before us, so applicable to us this day. Father, we thank you that you have blessed it, us with it, and now as we study it, may we be not only hearers of the word, but doers of it as well. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. What I want to do this morning is pretty simple. This text is structured with a theme verse, that's verse 1, that guides that theme through the four major sections of this text. So let me give you a quick outline, tell you where we're going. We'll start with that theme, and this is it. Troubled but trusting. Troubled but trusting. That comes from verse 1. Trusting being the thread that winds its way through the rest of the passage. Then the next is place. Trusting in Jesus for a place. That's in verses 2 and 3. Trusting in Jesus for a place. Then verses 4, 5, and 6. Trusting in Jesus for a path. A path. And then verses 7 through 11, trusting in Jesus for a person. And then verses 12 through 14, trusting in Jesus in prayer. So troubled but trusting, then place, path, person, and prayer. I hope you've got it. Let's start. Troubled but trusting, verse 1, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. There it is for us, the troubled heart. And there are at least two reasons why the disciples' hearts were troubled. The first, as I mentioned before, is that Jesus is leaving. I don't think the disciples totally understood all that his leaving meant, but they did know that things were changing. They had left their families, their businesses, left it all to follow the Messiah, and now he's leaving them. And there was confusion, questioning, we see that in the text later, fear, probably. So Jesus says these words, let not your hearts be troubled. Many of us are troubled today. Times are different, and quite frankly, we are not doing very well with it. There is some confusion, some questioning, and a lot of fear. And to our situation, Jesus says, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. So troubled but trusting. I hope you see that movement this morning from troubled to trusting. Well, what else? There's that second reason for their troubled hearts, and it's Peter's denial. When things got tough, Peter, the one who said he would lay down his life for Jesus, we all know what happened after that. It was into that mess of those closest to Jesus that Jesus says, don't be too troubled. Troubled, yes, because like Peter, you in one way or another will deny me. You are not that trustworthy. So yes, that's troubling. Your heart should be troubled, but it doesn't have to stay troubled. You have an object of trust that's as solid as a rock, Psalm 31. And that object is God. This passage is showing us how Jesus and the Father team up, one commentator called it. They team up to overcome our questioning and our confusion and our fears. So Jesus says, believe in God, believe also in me. You trust in God, now trust in me. Troubled, but trusting. Are you having difficulty trusting in this season? The beauty of this passage is that it gives us reasons to trust. And the first one has to do with place. Trusting in Jesus for a place. Verse 2. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. So what is he talking about there? What place? Well, it's heaven. And it's clear that Jesus will be there with us in heaven. One commentator writes, "This is the next life's most simple, compact, intimate, an adequate definition. There is a place, and I will be there with you." So now, in this life, we have a hope in the next life, and an understanding that when one is troubled, it is more helpful to focus on the destination than it is to focus on the journey. So, the destination, I have to admit that is very hard for me to do. Usually I get caught up in the journey. On a trip, I just love to drive and to see things. Not so much for my family. I just don't get it when we've been on vacation, we've been away, and now we're headed home, and for some reason they don't want to stop at a Civil War battlefield to take in some history. They just want to go home. They don't want to take the Skyline Drive. They just want to go home. I just don't get that they don't want to be wrapped up in the journey like that. Well, Jesus is telling us that there is a place, a destination, a home with your very own room. And it's a great reason not to be troubled now. There is a place where Jesus and the Father reside, a place without trouble. Jesus and the Father are there, trusting in Jesus for a place. Are you caught up in the journey? A journey that's keeping you from knowing what Jesus is preparing for you in heaven? There is hope in the destination. So place, and now path, trusting in Jesus for a path. Verse 5, Thomas said to Jesus, "Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way?" Jesus makes it very clear to him. He says, "I am the way and the truth and the life." Jesus says, "I am the path to the Father. Come along with me, and I'm the only path. There is only one way to the Father." You know, that thought, that theology just doesn't always sit well with us. In most everything we do, there are more ways than one to do it. There seems to always be choices, legitimate choices to accomplish that same goal. But that's the problem. And some things we just don't get to choose. When Jesus says, "I am the way," he is saying, "This very night, I go through death for you. And then on Easter Sunday, I come out of death for you. You can't choose that path. I did it for you. There is no other way. I am the way because I am the truth and I am the life." And Jesus has said that before. John 6, we've studied it. "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." You know, the problem is we eat the bread of this day and it doesn't fill us. We drink of the water that doesn't quench our thirst. There is only one bread of life. There is only one living water, none other. Do you believe that? Do you believe that this morning? From where are you eating? And from where are you drinking? Where are you placing your trust? There is only one way. Jesus is the path. He is the way and the truth and the life. Very important for us to see that this morning. But as important as that verse is to our thinking, the next point may even be more so. It has to do with the person. Trusting in Jesus leads you to a person. You know, the emphasis of these verses 7 through 11 is really, really pretty clear. 9 times John uses the word Father in these verses. The person that Jesus leads us to is God the Father. Over and over again, Jesus says that He and the Father are one. Verse 7, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. Verse 9 to Philip, Jesus says, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. Verse 10, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? And then again in verse 11, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Over and over again, this passage is telling us that the Father is with us. I want you to hear that this morning. The Father is with us. Seeing Jesus is seeing God the Father. And of course, access to the Father, God's presence was everything to the Hebrew. And Jesus is just pressing this point home. Remember Moses after the golden calf incident? Moses feared that God would not continue to go with them, and he said, if your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. God is with us. Trusting in Jesus leads us to the person of God and reminds us of His presence. I need that reminder this morning. Deuteronomy 31, He will never leave you or forsake you. Joshua 1, do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. The psalmist writes, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy, Psalm 16. So Jesus is indeed Emmanuel, God with us. He says, behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. God is with us in this season. So Jesus says, believe me, almost a pleading to his disciples for belief. Please believe, he's saying. Do you really believe that God is with us here in this season? That's the question. Like Philip, is it enough for you to see the Father through a relationship with Jesus? So believing in Jesus for a place, believing in Him for a path, believing in Him for a person. Now, believing in Jesus in prayer. Verse 13, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Now, people over the years have misunderstood this verse, and it has caused some real confusion for us. Usually, people focus on the asking, if you ask, and then they focus on the anything, if you ask me anything, and then we want to focus on the in my name like it's some magic potion or something. All of these are important to understand, if understood correctly, but the real focus must be on the I will do it. Jesus is the one who is saying, I will do it. Let me say it this way. If He doesn't do it, it's not going to happen. That's some of what prayer is. It's the means or the instrument to be in communion with Jesus and to receive that supernatural help that's needed. Praying is asking God to do that which is impossible for us to do. It magnifies Jesus and it humbles us. Praying is a declaration that we can't do it. We can't do it. And I can't think of anything better to help our hearts when they're troubled. It's a declaration that I can't fix it, so we go to prayer. Let me close with this story. I met a young man recently. It was clear that he was a believer, and soon he found out that I was a pastor. He began telling a story about his grandfather, who was a small town preacher up in Tennessee. In the midst of the story, he told me, "I'm here today because of a woman named June Brown, who I've never met." His grandfather wasn't raised in a Christian home, and in his grandfather's teenage years, he had become ill with a lung disease, I think, and he was in the hospital, and it was bad. The doctor came out and told his grandfather's mother, this young man's great-grandmother, to go to her preacher, that her son wasn't going to make it. Well, she didn't have a preacher, but she knew a lady named June Brown. June Brown was the only believer that she knew, and she knew that she prayed. So June Brown, the story goes, came to the hospital and prayed, and in God's providence, his grandfather survived, but his voice didn't. He could only whisper. In fact, he became known in that area as the whispering preacher. Well, this young man told me that 8 others in his family had become pastors and missionaries. That whispering preacher had children and then these grandchildren, a whole family of believers. And this young man said it was all because of the prayers of that lady, June Brown, that he had never met. I just stood there and shook my head thinking to myself, you know, God does that kind of thing all the time. He takes our feeble prayers mixed up with our troubled hearts and he acts. Do you believe that he acts? Believe in Jesus in prayer. Pray believing. Pray with an expectation that Jesus acts. I was out for a drive up in northeast Alabama this past Friday afternoon. You might recall it was a beautiful day, and I was driving on Highway 11. That's a whole different story I won't go into now. But on Highway 11, there are a lot of small churches dotted along the highway, Baptist churches, Methodist churches, Pentecostal churches, and many of them have these signboards where they put these clever spiritual messages. And let me tell you about 3 that I saw. They all had to do with COVID-19. Church 1. Catch Jesus, not the virus. Church 2, get tested for Jesus. Those were actual signs on churches. But then the 3rd one had only 1 word on it, 4 letters, P-R-A-Y. That's all it said. And I thought, that's it. That's what we need to do during this season. Let not your heart be too troubled, but trust. I go to prepare a place for you. You have a home. You have a destination. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other path. Please believe. Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. God is with us in this season. And if you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. May God continue to bless us as we put our trust in Jesus Christ alone. Let's pray together. Father, in your providence, please help us with our troubled hearts. We are feeble. We are frail. Many times we don't know what the next step should be. But Father, you go before us. You show us the way in Christ. May we learn to place our trust in Christ more and more. May we know in a fresh way this day of your presence with us. May our eyes be turned upward and not fixed on earthly things. May we look straight into the eyes of Jesus who did what we could not do. He gave us a path to you. May we see you through a right relationship with your Son and then be reminded how you are with your people. And Father, we've been reminded of the importance of prayer this morning and how you listen to your people. God, give us a new love of prayer that we may seek your face in plenty and in want, in times of blessing and in times of trouble, that you would be honored and glorified in all that we do. This we pray in the name of the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.